in today's gospel, Christ begins to reveal his identity to the world. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tested the water that had become wine without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Recently, I came across a little list I thought was kind of interesting. It was a list of the final words of famous people, words they allegedly made on their deathbed, the last words they spoke. For example, Frank Sinatra allegedly said, "I'm losing it. I'm losing it." Some of you might know the name Bessie Smith. Bessie Smith was a great blues singer. When she was laying there dying, her final words were, "I'm leaving now, but I'm leaving in the name of the Lord." To go back some centuries, the emperor, Roman Emperor Justinian, on his deathbed. Now, Justinian was the emperor that came along after Constantine. Constantine had undergone a religious conversion and became a Christian, and he had made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. But when Justinian succeeded to the throne, he tried to bring back all the old Roman gods, tried to bring back the old religious ways. On his deathbed, allegedly his final words were these, "You have won, O Galilean. You have won, O Galilean," referring to Jesus. More recently, a couple of years ago, when Queen Elizabeth II died in England, her final words reportedly were these, "All my possessions for a few more moments. All my possessions for a few more moments." Interesting. Of course, we're all going to have final words. We don't know when that's going to be, and we don't even know that when we speak them, they're going to be our final words necessarily. But I share all that with you this morning because in the gospel today, we are presented with the final recorded words of our Blessed Mother. These aren't words on her deathbed, but the final words we have from her in the scripture. We see her in the scriptures later on, especially at the Passion of the Lord at the foot of the cross. Then after his resurrection, she's in the upper room with the apostles. But these are the final words she speaks publicly. What are they? "Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you." Now, of course, at that point, she's speaking to the stewards about how Christ might help this situation, to run out of wine. But those words are prophetic, aren't they? Do whatever he tells you. I'm reminded of that wonderful scene in the gospel of the transfiguration of Christ. Remember, Christ is up on the mountain, and Peter and James and John are there with him. He's transfigured, and the apostles hear the word of the Father. What does the Father say? This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. Same thing as saying, do whatever he tells you. So this morning we might ask ourselves the question, why should we do what Jesus tells us? Why should we do that? And I think the answer to that question is this. Because he has come not only to save us from our sins, but to show us how to live authentically, to show us what a full, authentic human life is like, and to show us that what that means in this world. You know, he said it himself, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I want you to have life to the full. And he said elsewhere, I am the way, I am truth, I am life. So when we look at him, listen to what he tells us, do what he tells us, what he shows us, he's leading us to as full an authentic life as we can have in this world. And this morning, there are two things that he shows us at this wedding at Cana that I think are very important. The first is this. Christ is not a killjoy. Now, if we think that religion is some kind of an impediment put on us, you know, to whip us into line, to keep us from enjoying life, keep us from you know, doing happy things, we misunderstand what religion is all about. Look at Christ today. He's at a wedding. How often do we see Christ visiting the homes of people, having meals with them? We can picture him sitting around a table, laughing, enjoying them. Christ wants us to enjoy life, to live it fully. We are not Puritans. Catholics are not Puritans. The Puritans, for all of their religious faith, misunderstood the world. They thought the world was some kind of a dangerous place that could lure us into sin all the time. If you enjoyed something too much, that was dangerous. But that's not the way Catholics look at things. I think I've used this example with you before, but it's certainly worth repeating in light of today's gospel. The great Catholic author, British author, Hilaire Belloc, wrote these words. Wherever the Catholic sun does shine, our laughter, music, and good red wine. Wherever the Catholic sun does shine, our laughter, music, and good red wine. We're meant to enjoy the good things of the world. Remember when God creates everything at the beginning? After he's finished creating, what does he say? The scripture says, the book of Genesis, and God looked at everything he had made, and he said, it is very good. It is very good. God wants us to enjoy the good things of the world. If you're out having a wonderful meal someplace in a restaurant, and you know you have a wonderful piece of meat, you're just delighting in it, and you say, wait, I shouldn't enjoy that too much. No. Enjoy it. That's what Christ teaches us today. When he changes the water into wine, isn't it interesting? He creates better wine than what they had. He's no piker. If he's going to do something, he goes all the way. He gives them the best wine they could have. So you see, that's the first thing he teaches us today. Do whatever he tells you. Enjoy life. Now, that doesn't mean we can't go overboard sometimes. Doesn't mean we can't misuse things. Doesn't mean sometimes we shouldn't do sacrifice to do penance or sacrifice so that we have something to share with other people. Yes, all of that's true, but life is meant to be lived and enjoyed. Remember that wonderful musical comedy, Fiddler on the Roof? There's a scene there where that little Jewish community is at a wedding. They sing this song, L'chaim, L'chaim, to life, L'chaim, 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 to life. That's what God wants us to experience. That's what Christ teaches us today. Enjoy the good gifts of the Father. Praise Him. Thank Him when you're enjoying that piece of meat in the restaurant. Enjoy, praise Him always and thank Him for those gifts, but enjoy them. Second thing Christ teaches us today is this. Look at this miracle He performs. He performs it in a little backwater place called Cana. Now, Cana was a little village. Nobody important lived there. It was kind of, you know, a backwater, as I say. No prestigious people there. We don't know why Mary and Jesus were at that wedding. Might have been relatives. They might have just been friends. We don't know. But it's at that little backwater place, number one. Number two, who's this couple? Just ordinary little people, everyday people, you know. Nothing special about them. And then why does he perform the miracle for them? Because He doesn't want them to be embarrassed. Weddings in those days lasted 7 days. These people lived a hard life. When they had something to celebrate, they celebrated. The wedding went on for 7 days. And hospitality was absolutely essential. To run out of wine would have been the most embarrassing thing you could imagine. Christ doesn't want that to happen for this little couple. So He performs this miracle, His first sign, we're told, in a little backwater place for an ordinary people for a rather small reason in some ways. He does all that. Why? Because those people are important to Him. Those little people are important to Him. And if they're important to Him, so are you, and so am I. Every one of us important to Him. This miracle shows us and teaches us that the Lord is always close to us. He'll always support us. He'll always build us up through the ups and downs of life, the good times, the bad times. He'll be with us, close to us, help us. Do whatever He tells you. Live knowing that He's close to you. What a wonderful way to live our life, you know, knowing that the Lord is always close and that we're important to Him, and He wants us to enjoy and live as fully as we can. What a way to live life. That's what He teaches us today. That's what He asks us to do, to live that way. And you know what? If we were to live that way truly, you know what I think our final words might be? Our final words might be something like this. God, it's been great. Thank You. Now, take me home. God, it's been great. Thank You. Now, take me home. May God bless you.